great show. Hi, hang on while I do this. Go. Oh, hey. I almost had it. I almost had it.
You did. You were so close.
I was so close. You would think after all this time I would know that by now.
I would, but I, you know, it happens.
Do you know where you are right now?
I don't. Where am I? Am I in the jungle?
You are close to the G-spot.
Oh, the geek spot even, huh?
Yeah, yeah. I went rated R for a second.
Yeah. Sorry.
Hey, man. Welcome back, everyone.
Yeah, it's been a while, huh?
It's been like 2 years. It's like the other show.
It's so true.
It's like the other show. It's like once every 6 months. No, man. It's good to see you again.
You too. You too. What have you been up to, Frank?
You know, it hasn't been the best of times. I was a little sick for a week. Mm. And then last week I had some offline drama going on at home. Nothing major, just, you know, just house stuff.
Yeah, it happens.
But the sick stuff stinks. And the flu, not the vid, the flu.
Right. Yeah, that's no fun.
No, it sucked. It sucked. It was like 5 days. Like, I get it twice a year, roughly.
Yeah.
And, well, usually it's at the holidays and allergy season, and here we are.
Yeah, I had some allergies. I made it through them, though, so that was good.
That's good. Have you been doing the music thing, haven't you?
Not too much lately. It's a slow month.
Oh.
I did some back at the beginning. I did a few gigs at, I played out in Pottstown at the Alley on High Street. I got a gig in Bensalem coming up Memorial Day weekend.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. You know.
Yeah, me too.
Have you?
I have.
So I'm sure we'll talk about all sorts of stuff we watched.
Well, some of it, definitely, yes.
I did go through and binge catching up on the show Manifest, which is pretty good.
Nope. I've been catching up on Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, Manifest is basically Lost if they came back.
If they knew what they were doing?
No. Well, so the beautiful thing about it, right, I think Lost and any of us that watched Lost know that Lost succumbed to the pressure of being Lost after the first 2 years, right, where it was like, oh, my God, you have to be this most amazing show ever with all these crazy mysteries. Manifest doesn't have that pressure.
Ah, okay.
But it's basically, and this is not spoiling anything on the show, but it's basically if the plane from Lost crashed in, we'll say, Purgatory, maybe, wherever it crashed, and they all... something happened, right?
Yeah.
Imagine if they all came back 5 years later.
Ah.
And now that's the principle of your show.
I would watch that. Kind of like a Flash Sideways?
Sort of. But they're actually getting time to do stuff because they're in their third season now.
Oh, okay.
So they've had like zero pressure, but they keep getting picked back up. The cast is good. And they keep doing enough interesting things to draw me back in, so...
Oh.
It's my non-comic geek-related recommendation because it is, I think, an ABC or NBC or one of those.
Right.
NBC, I think.
I know I saw it, and I think I kind of wanted to watch it, and then I probably watched Friday Night Lights instead.
Most likely.
Yeah. You know that Smallville just celebrated its, what anniversary, 10?
Really years? Should be the 20th, right?
20 years since it's been
10 years since it ended, so it should be its 20th anniversary, right?
Yeah, 20th anniversary of the finale, I believe it was.
10th anniversary of the finale.
Yes, that's exactly what I meant.
Yeah.
Obviously did not prepare for that, but it means I should start a rewatch.
Eventually.
Cuz I don't have anything else to watch. I watched Invincible.
I know, I'm so proud. Finished
Invincible. We'll talk about that.
Anybody that didn't needs to before you before we get to our chat about Invincible, because it's probably going to be pretty spoilery.
Yeah, definitely will. All right, so last night, apparently, the MTV Movie Awards are still a thing.
They are. I was flipping through and saw them listed on 13 different channels.
And nobody returned their awards?
I don't think so. I mean, would you return something to Leslie Jones if she gave it to you?
No.
Okay. Well, she
No,
was the host. I saw her
usually
face
the
on 13 every channel that Viacom and Paramount owns on my
Oh, nice.
TV. It was
Nice.
on Comedy Central, Nickelodeon, MTV, Paramount,
Wow.
BET, Comedy Central, like every channel you can think of, VH1.
Wow.
In case you accidentally changed the channel, they wanted to make sure you were still watching.
Apparently. All right, so I got the list of stuff and the categories. I figured we didn't do the actual other awards.
Yeah, the we were going to do the Razzies and, you
We
know.
were, and then we got sick.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to give you every move. I'll give you the winners as opposed
Okay.
to what they were up against, unless you really want to know. Best
No,
movie.
let's just go with winners.
Best movie was To All the Boys, Always and Forever. I don't think I'm not familiar with that.
I'm not familiar with that either. I think Lana, what's her name, was in it, who's in Oh, I can't even remember. The Assassin Show. It's about the kids.
Oh.
You didn't watch it.
Yep, I didn't watch that.
Henry
Best
Rollins was in it, though.
show. Now this was a pretty good category. Bridgerton, Cobra Kai, Emily in Paris, The Boys, and WandaVision.
Wait, Emily in Paris was in that category?
Emily in Paris is in Best
Wow.
Show because it's the TV and movie
Oh, no, I
awards.
know, but it was just slammed by a lot of people.
Yeah, well, WandaVision came away with that one.
It makes sense.
Yes.
Did you say Falcon Winter Soldier was in there?
It was not. It was not.
Oh,
It was
that's a
not.
problem. Hi, Mom.
Hi. Hi,
See
Jack's
that?
mom.
That's a problem that did
Yeah.
not make it in
Well,
there.
it may have been too late to
No, because
see
it was up
Bridgerton.
for, I think it was up for some other things.
Well, we'll see. Let's see.
That's
Best
surprising.
performance in a movie was Chadwick Boseman for Ma Rainey's Black Bottom.
Well, that works.
Yep.
Still haven't seen that. It's on my list.
It is on my list also. Sure. Best performance in a TV show, Elizabeth Olsen won for WandaVision.
Yeah, I'd give her that. Who was she up against? Let's see.
She was up against Anya Taylor-Joy from The Queen's Gambit.
Oh no, yeah, she was better.
Elliot Page from The Umbrella Academy.
Yeah.
I didn't like Elliot Page at all in The Umbrella Academy. I thought that character sucked. Not
Yes,
for any
season
other reason than
two.
it just wasn't an interesting character.
Season two, the most interesting character was Whisper, the one who does
Yeah.
the I heard a rumor.
Yeah. Emma Corrin from The Crown and Michaela Coel for I May Destroy You.
I would have given that to Anya Taylor-Joy because Queen's
Okay.
Gambit was unbelievable. WandaVision was good, but she was amazing in Queen's Gambit.
So you were right about the Falcon and Winter Soldier as this next category, best hero. The people were Teyonah Parris for WandaVision.
Okay.
Pedro Pascal for The Mandalorian.
Yeah.
Jack Quaid from The Boys. Which one was Jack Quaid?
He's Dennis Quaid's kid. He's
Yeah, but what's his name?
what's his name? The geeky
The
one.
big ape guy?
No,
No?
that's Umbrella Academy.
Oh, The Boys. Duh.
The
Wow.
one
Duh.
this Dennis Quaid and Meg Ryan's kid in The Boys.
Yes. Gal Gadot for Wonder Woman 84.
No.
And Anthony Mackie for Falcon and the Winter Soldier, which won? Anthony Mackie wins. It's a good category.
I would you go Anthony Mackie?
I would kind of go. See, you couldn't give it to Teyonah Parris because she really didn't get to be a hero.
No, and that
Too
she.
small of a sample size. Pedro Pascal probably would have been my second choice, only because you have a larger sample size. You have 2 seasons of him.
What if Paul Bettany was in there?
Then you have a tougher choice. You have a much
Right? Do
tougher
you go
choice.
Paul Bettany or do you go Anthony Mackie in that choice?
You know what? I would go Anthony Mackie because of the Captain America angle.
Okay. That's fair.
Gal Gadot, no. I like her and I like her as Wonder Woman, but that movie was atrocious.
It was a waste of everybody's time.
Yes. The always favorite best kiss category.
Oh.
I don't know any of these. It was Chase Stokes and Madeline Klein for Outer Banks.
Oh, yeah, my wife watched that. I did not watch that.
Yeah.
That's a
Yeah.
MTV or Netflix or something, I think.
Yeah. Now, best comedic performance. It was Anne Murphy for Schitt's Creek, Eric Andre for Bad Trip, Issa Rae for Insecure, Jason Sudeikis for Ted Lasso, which my sister raves about Ted Lasso.
I told
She
you.
told me that it's, you said it, but she said it too. You would love that, I was told.
It's
And
totally in your wheelhouse.
yes, and Leslie Jones won for Coming to America.
Which she was not good in.
No, she's been in much better stuff.
And Sudeikis should have won that hands down. He was
Yes.
brilliant in Ted
Yes.
Lasso. And
Now
season two's
here's.
coming. Catch
Yes.
up before season two starts.
Well, I got to buy a new Apple TV because the one I have
No, you
is.
don't.
Yeah, I
Just
do.
watch it on the app.
No, I'll just buy a new Apple
Watch it on the
TV.
app.
Well, I'm going to buy an Apple TV and a new iPad at the same time.
There's an app.
I have FU money.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Best villain. This is a very good category. So you have Aya Cash for The Boys,
Okay. Oh, yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Ewan McGregor for Birds of Prey and the fabulous Emancipation of
Oh.
One Harley Quinn. Let me finish the title. Giancarlo Esposito in The Mandalorian.
Oh. Not
Nicholas
in it
Holt
enough.
in The Great. I didn't see that, but I know who he is.
Yeah, he's beast.
And the winner, Catherine Hahn for Onward. Does she beat Aya Cash or Giancarlo?
She beats Giancarlo because he wasn't in that show enough, in my opinion.
Okay. Does she beat Aya Cash? Aya Cash was
No.
really good, like
Yeah, she does not
convincingly
beat.
good.
I wouldn't give it Agatha over Stormfront because Agatha came across as like almost moments of like a sympathetic villain.
Yeah.
The twist was great with her.
Right.
And I think it was a better twist than it was for Aya Cash. But I think performance-wise, you got to go with what Aya Cash did in that role.
Breakthrough performance was Regé Jean Page for Bridgerton.
Yeah.
Okay.
He hosted Saturday Night Live a couple weeks ago.
Best fight?
He was actually supposed to be cast in Krypton
Oh, really?
as this is another Geoff Johns story.
Fat Jor-El?
No, he was supposed to be cast as Jor-El's dad, so Superman's grandfather.
Oh.
And they told him they would not cast him because nobody would believe that Superman's grandfather was a man of color.
Gotcha. I remember that story. And
Geoff
instead,
Johns supposedly told him that specifically.
yeah. And instead, they cast a guy that looks like Superman's
He
grandfather,
should have
great
played
grandfather.
could have played Superman. That dude looked just like Cameron Cuff.
Best fight. So you
Okay.
had Birds of Prey,
Nope.
the final funhouse fight. You had Cobra Kai, the final house fight.
No.
I liked it, but it was too hokey.
It's as an adult, it was too hard to
Yeah.
watch and be like, yeah, no.
The Boys, Starlight, Queen Maeve, Kimiko versus Stormfront.
Oh, that was good.
Zack Snyder's Justice League, the final fight versus Steppenwolf. You had me at slow motion. And the winner was Wanda versus Agatha from WandaVision.
Eh, too
Does
short.
that beat the Boys
No, too short.
again? Yeah.
Too short.
Most frightened performance was Victoria Pedretti for The Haunting of Bly Manor.
Yeah, I didn't see many of the horror movies this year, so I'm going to take their word at it. I heard that was good.
Best duo
Okay.
was Anthony Mackie and Sebastian Stan.
Yeah, they're fantastic. They got worse as the show progressed, but at the very beginning, first few episodes, when they were together, they were amazing.
And that was it. Those are all the categories.
That was good. I mean, there was some stuff in there.
Yeah, there was some decent stuff in there. I mean, I haven't watched the MTV Movie Awards in a really, really, really long time.
They did some like generational awards too, I think. They named Scarlett Johansson like a generational icon. It's a household name. They named Sacha Baron Cohen comedic inspiration, and then he proceeded to
Oh.
cancel Borat, Ali G, and Bruno
Oh, geez.
during his speech. He
Nice.
played all the characters, and they all came up and canceled each other.
That's awesome. You sent me a text about a couple of trailers that have come out that we were not able to talk about.
Yeah.
Did we mention the Venom trailer?
No.
I thought we mentioned Venom.
No, you and I texted about it.
Okay.
So and you said, "Oh, I should watch Venom."
And
I'll
I
put it on my
yet.
List after Smallville.
It's there.
I said, "Oh,
that's right." You groaned at me. what did you think of the trailer?
It looks good. I mean, it's. Let me. I don't think I was on. We were doing this when the first one came out, so I'll right. speak on my thoughts of the first one to make what I thought of the trailer. So the first one, I think it's a fine movie. I'd watch it multiple times. It's good popcorn mm-hmm. movie. It's not a great Venom story, and I don't like. And maybe it's supposed to be this way, but I found Tom Hardy so not likable as a character that I could not root for him.
Really?
Like there was no redeeming qualities where like, oh, this guy's like, at least Deadpool, like you got to see him in Love and we're like, oh, he's a good guy, even though he's a killer, but he seems like, you know, he's a good guy here. You never get that from Tom Hardy. You just get like, this guy's a bad, like an awful human being.
Wow.
The movie's super fun. Like the action's great. The second one looks like it's more the same, just fun action. You know, if you don't take it seriously, you get a few good jump scares. I think it looks super fun. I think Woody Harrelson's going to be great.
There's some good, it looks like there's some good comedic elements to it. And it's, so it looks set. So from
the first one's very funny.
What the director said, who was the director? It was,
it's Alfred, the new Alfred.
Claw. Yeah. Ulysses Claw. It's, what the hell's his name?
Gollum.
Gollum.
Andy Serkis.
Anthony Serkis. Thank you.
Andy.
Yes.
Andy.
Yeah, him too. he said that it's set in its own universe. It's not necessarily set in the MCU, but the Daily Bugle page is reminiscent of Sam Raimi's Spider-Man, I believe.
Well, the first one's not in the MCU proper.
Right, right. So it's they're
which
definitely
is their first break with trying to make it Venom.
Well, they're playing it fast and loose in the multiverse kind of a thing where it's not completely connected, but they can still connect it down the line if they need to.
Yeah, they could throw Tom Holland. It also takes place in a city that it's in San Francisco. So it's disconnected from everything but Ant-Man.
Right.
Like geographical standpoint. Because every Avengers movie except for Ant-Man is taking place on the West Coast. All or East Coast, I mean. Sorry.
Yeah. And then, well, so Ant-Man, Peyton Reed posted a picture. He's filming Ant-Man in the same kind of environment that the Mandalorians filmed in. That big round.
The sound?
The big virtual thing.
The sound is what
yeah,
they call it.
He took a picture and posted it on Twitter of him. Like it's like a snowy landscape, but then there's a bubble in the middle and he's standing there with a camera, with his phone camera.
Well, he used the sound for two episodes of Mandalorian.
Yep.
So
he's, and that's awesome. I think that's great. I like that technology a lot. So Marvel put out a trailer, kind of like a, almost like a greatest hits trailer.
Like a, hey, coming. Come back to the movies.
Yeah.
In the theater.
That was a chill inducing, with the Stan Lee voiceover to start.
Yeah.
You got a little chills.
And then to remembering what it was like to see Endgame in a movie theater with people for the first time.
So awesome. Every once in a while, I'll go back down the rabbit hole and I'll watch like reactions from opening night.
Right. And even though like I thought that scene was okay, I still get chills.
Yes.
Remembering the reaction that people in the movie theater had to that scene.
Yeah.
With and when then you he got catches it. Mjolnir.
You got some Shang-Chi look. You got some Eternals looks.
Yeah, first view of the Eternals.
It looks really good.
And so the cool part with all that Eternal stuff is it is all live. Like, so you get these huge outdoor shots. 9 times out of 10 yeah. now, all of that's CGI.
Mm-hmm.
None of the Eternals shots like that are CGI. They've traveled the world to film that movie.
Yeah, no, that's amazing. I think that's another one of those movies where they're going to like, it's like where they took the Guardians of the Galaxy and they made them relevant and they weren't really like us. You know what I mean? They weren't an A-list comic book like they did with Iron Man. Iron Man wasn't an A-list comic book. Now he is because of the movies.
Right.
What else did they show in that? Showed some Black Widow.
You saw some Black Widow. You saw that we found out soon. We found out the next Black Panther is going to be Wakanda Forever.
Yes. Yes.
It's a great name. Right. Yes. We'll see. I have no idea what story track they're going with for it.
No, I have an Anthony Mackie quote later on regarding his possible appearance in that. teaser.
We got the Marvels. Captain Marvel 2 is called The Marvels.
Yes.
Because we should have three different Captain Marvel or Miss Marvels by that point.
We'll have Teyonah Paris.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have Monica Rambeau. And we'll have
Mara Jade. That is Monica Rambeau.
Is it? No.
Who are you talking about?
Isn't Teyonah Paris the one from WandaVision?
Yeah, this Monica Rambeau.
Then her mother, then, is what I meant.
Who's dead.
Right.
That was Marcia. Or Sharon. Marcia.
Right.
Monica's Teyonah Paris.
Gotcha. And Mara Jade.
No.
But that's because Brie Larson might be Mara Jade.
Yeah, but no, Kamala Khan.
Yes, I'm excited for that.
Miss Marvel.
I actually got really invested in the Miss Marvel more when I played the beginning of the Avengers video game.
Right.
Because it was a really great introduction to that character for me, because I didn't know as much about the character.
Yeah, I'm intrigued to see how they tie in her being a huge fangirl of Captain Marvel.
Right.
When Captain Marvel has never really existed on Earth.
Well, you're right. I got nothing on that.
Like, I'm intrigued to see how they twist that storyline around.
I got nothing on it.
And then we also saw the four at the end of the trailer reminding us, hey, we're going to wrap up phase four with the Fantastic Four.
Now, in regards to that, I'll off-road for a second. Did you see the comments that Emily Blunt made about superhero movies?
She made better comments than most people do when they get asked about being in Marvel.
She said that it's played out, basically. The superhero genre is played out.
Yeah, that she's just not a fan of it. It's not for her, which is fine.
Is it a smokescreen, do you think?
She
passed on Black Widow.
No, that's scheduling.
But she would have been Black Widow. I think she would have been a great Black Widow.
She was cast as Black Widow, but then Iron Man got delayed and scheduling conflicts didn't work out, or something. Another movie she was on got delayed. So,
smokescreen,
maybe. She and Krasinski are getting older too. We got to remember the only one that was older when they were cast was Robert Downey Jr. and Mark Ruffalo, and they don't really have to have action scenes. Mr. Fantastic and Invisible Woman are pretty busy.
He's only 41.
Yeah, but that's Chris Evans isn't even 40 yet.
Really?
Yeah.
No shit.
And Chadwick Boseman was 43.
She's only 30. She's 38. So.
Yeah, I mean they're for action stars. They're getting there. And Scarlett Johansson might be 40 now, and she's been doing it for 12 years.
Right. So there was another trailer in the list that you sent me that I actually took the time. I actually took the time to watch all these trailers.
Oh, look at you!
Except the last one, I didn't get through it.
Which one was that?
So Green Knight I watched.
Yeah.
On it. Like, I didn't even know about it. It looks like it's just a big, like, high fantasy thing, but tied to Knights at a Round Table.
Yeah, it's King Arthur's story. Sir Gawain and the Green Knight. And Dev Patel plays Sir Gawain.
Mm-hmm.
And he's on the quest to go get the Green Knight. It's just one of the stories from King Arthur's.
Is it a Guy Ritchie movie? No, it wasn't. It was somebody else.
No, I don't remember who does this. It looks okay. I'm not sure if I'm sold. But I'd watch it on TV, I think. I don't think it's a let me get back out to the movie theater to see this.
David Lowry is...
It did say David Lowry's Green Knight, actually, I think is how they
David
build it.
David Lowry. I wonder if he's related to Mike Lowry. Mike Lowry. Bad Boys? No?
I know.
Okay, I'll just skip. Just pretend that didn't happen.
Dave Lowry is the singer of Cracker. I wonder if it's him.
Oh. There was the Snake Eyes trailer for G.I. Joe. That looks great.
It does. It doesn't look G.I. Joe-ish at all.
No. It looks actually really good. I'm kind of... That I'll see. I've always loved Snake Eyes. Even back to the cartoon. Hi, Hudson. They just go bark off in the distance.
Yeah, I'm intrigued to see how they go with it because it's a very different take than they had on the original.
Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely.
Because the original Snake Eyes is much different.
Well, yeah, he doesn't. Yeah.
He was also a Vietnam vet who was blonde hair, blue eyes.
Oh.
Who was in Vietnam, got disfigured, and while in Vietnam, ended up training in a monastery because he was rendered mute And he ended up in a monastery and trained alongside Storm Shadow.
Right. Well, that part I knew. I didn't know about the whole mute part. That's interesting.
So I'm intrigued to see if they bring in Storm Shadow. I thought I saw somebody that looked like he might be wearing his costume.
That would make sense since they're so tied together in that lore and whatnot.
Yeah, that's what I'm waiting to see.
And then you sent me another one that I really just didn't. It's just not my thing. Forever Purge. I was never a big fan of the Purge.
They're total popcorn fun. You know what you're getting into. It's just going to be a wild ride and just batshit crazy for an entire
right
movie. The TV show even was great of the Purge. They did a TV show for a while. That was super fun. But it's going to be the last one. The premise behind the Purge in general, for anybody that doesn't know that's listening, is once a year they allow all crimes to be legal for 12
right.
hours.
Right.
Or 24 hours. 24 hours. And
24 hours.
I think it might be 12. Whatever it is. I think it's 12. From like 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. It's all crimes are legal. So it's just chaos in the streets. And then for a year, there's like no crime. And then they have the Purge again. This is where people decide, you know, I don't want to stop when the sirens sound.
And then they keep going.
Yeah. And if you've watched the first one's great with Ethan Hawke. It's fantastic. And Lena Headey.
It's not my cup of tea, that stuff. There's horror. Yeah. I'm not big into the horror movie. It's not like I'm a
fan. No, it's not really horror either, like, though. It's social commentary as much as anything, which most horror movies really are, right?
Yeah.
But it's it's pretty good. I enjoyed them all. Like I said, they're definitely like popcorn. Sit down, don't expect too much out of it. Movies.
Well,
Frank Grillo is great in the one he's in too.
Is he in one?
He is.
Oh. Speaking of Lena Headey, Masters of the Universe, the Kevin Smith jaunt.
Yeah.
Released its first pictures. Still footage. I think it looks great.
It does. The artwork's fantastic.
I think the artwork is phenomenal. For those not familiar, Kevin Smith is redoing Masters of the Universe. Or not redoing it, but he's picking up the story from the 80s cartoon, like from that last episode, and then they're going to jump forward in time. And then there's all kinds of stuff that happens, and the universe is in danger, and the heroes have scattered. I watched a video on it today. The voice cast is outstanding for this.
It's almost as good as Invincibles.
It really is. Chris Wood is Mr. Supergirl. He's married to Melissa Benoist. Benoist?
Yeah.
Right? I said it right? Hi, Bobby. Diedrich Bader is Trapjaw.
Yeah.
He is the guy from – he's a security guard from – ooh, and say, ooh, what a lovely tea party.
Right, from
he's from Third Rock from the Sun also.
No, he's not.
Yeah, he is.
No.
No?
Diedrich Bader's not Third Rock from the Sun. He was the voice of Batman in Adventures of Brave and the Bold. He's the voice of Batman in Harley Quinn. He's also from the Drew Carey Show.
Well, Batman himself is actually Merman in this, Kevin Conroy.
Yeah, look at
How's
that.
That? How's that?
You were thinking Stuart. Yeah,
I was. Stuart Little, yes.
Yeah, no.
Liam Cunningham is Man at Arms. Liam Cunningham was Davos Seaworth in Game of Sadness.
Yeah.
Susan Eisenberg is Sorceress. Mm-hmm. Sarah Michelle Gellar is Teela. It's a pretty big role.
It's a big character on the show.
Yeah. Mark Hamill is Skeletor. Mark Hamill is the bad guy again. I love that. Let's see. Who else we got? Lena Headey is Evil Lyn.
Mm-hmm.
Phil LaMarr is Hero.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Justin Long is Roboto. He put all his friends in. This is like an Adam Sandler thing.
Yeah.
Jason Mewes is Stinkor. Couldn't be more fitting. Who else? Henry Rollins is in it as Triclops. Alicia Silverstone is Queen Marlena.
Okay.
His daughter plays Ailina.
I don't remember her.
I do actually remember that character name. I don't know who it is, but I remember that character name.
Yeah.
That's coming this year, I believe.
I have a feeling it's going to be like July-ish.
Yeah.
I have a feeling.
I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, that's I think it's going to be good. It's they've done a lot with the story over the years. You know, it's there's another TV show getting developed at the same time that's a reboot, not a sequel. Another Super He-Man show, and then there's the movie that just lost its lead. So yeah. We'll see what happens with that.
Yeah, Noah
Centaur something. Yeah,
Centaur.
He's in Black Adam too.
That's right. Indiana Jones 5 is chugging ahead, dude. They're throwing casting left and right. Boyd Holbrook just got cast.
Yeah.
He was in Narcos, Logan, and he was in the 2018 Predator movie.
He was Dominic Pierce in Logan.
Yes.
He was
and
great.
Shaunette Renee Wilson was just cast. She was in Billions, The Resident, and she had a small Black Panther role.
Okay.
So not sure.
Yeah, look, people—they need all the people to help Harrison Ford walk across the room as they can.
They do. That's one of them will be playing his crutch.
Yes.
Knives Out 2. I actually haven't seen Knives Out, and I heard it's phenomenal.
It's good. I wouldn't say phenomenal. It's good though. It's a good murder mystery.
And it's got an all-star cast.
Yeah.
They just cast Catherine Hahn in an unknown role.
Okay. She fits that vibe.
To go along with so far, Daniel Craig's returning. Dave Bautista is coming. Edward Norton and Janelle Monáe is in it.
Dave Bautista's trying to stretch his wings so that he doesn't have to play all these meaty musclehead roles.
Right.
So he can finally stop working out in his 50s.
So last night, hi, Tiki. Last night, I was over Ray's and we were watching the wrestling pay-per-view. And they crossed over with Army of the Dead. That's the
Out Friday.
So he did a big voiceover in the beginning, and then during one of the matches, it was a lumberjack match. If you're familiar with the old timey lumberjack match where they surround the ring with wrestlers, and then you know you throw the wrestler out, you throw the good guy wrestler out on the bad guy side, and they beat him up a little bit and throw him back in. And the lumberjacks were zombies. And when one wrestler got thrown over the barricade, the zombies pulled him down and ate him.
Oh,
but they didn't eat the cameraman that was filming him. They just ate the wrestler because that's all they wanted to do.
Well, what about Hacksaw Jim Duggan? Where does he fit into this?
He's not a zombie though.
Right. But it was a lumberjack match, right?
Right. No, he wasn't a lumberjack. He just carried lumber.
Oh,
he just carried a 2x4.
In American flag.
But in today's world, they can't afford to give someone a real 2x4. So
that's fair.
But then when I said to Ray, I was like, well, what happens to him? Because, you know, it's wrestling. And he goes, wrestling magic heals him. He'll be fine next week.
Yeah.
Ray Mysterio lost an eye for a couple of weeks, but now he has both eyes again. It was gouged out with a fork in a match. But because wrestling magic, he has both eyes again.
Doesn't he wear a mask?
Yes, but you can see his eyes. So he had it covered. For a couple weeks because he didn't have an eye. And then all of a sudden he had an eye again because wrestling fixed it.
Got it. It's a reminder to me that anybody that makes fun of me for stuff I watch that watches wrestling has no legs to stand on.
Right. Kevin Hart, as we know, is in the Borderlands movie.
Yeah.
And Kevin Hart shared a behind the scenes photo from the Borderlands movie.
Oh, they're filming?
It was a fucking chair, dude. Freaking took a picture of a chair that said his name on it. That's it. That was what he shared. And he said it's going to be insane action. He showed a chair. I hate more than fan art. Do I hate when they give you behind the scenes photos and it's a goddamn chair?
Well, it's because they're probably filming the whole thing on green screen. So
maybe,
you know,
maybe, I don't know. In Fast and the Furious news, because we can't go without that.
No, you can't.
No. Michelle Rodriguez is hosting a Fast and the Furious inspired competition show. A car themed reality competition show will be on Discovery. No word yet or if there'll be bridge jumping or going into space. But we're hoping.
It's exciting.
Yes. Let me see. Then there's the thing we started talking about earlier, the Doctor Who's Torchwood reunion between David Tennant and Jonathan Barrowman, who played the bad guy on
Arrow. He played Arrow. Malcolm Merlyn on there. Captain he plays Merlyn. Captain Jack.
Yes. Yes, that's been canceled because John Barrowman had a thing for pulling his wee-wee out. Supposedly.
So John Barrowman's a little eccentric.
A little bit.
He's a little flamboyant. He's been out for a long time and goes all out, whether it be a tiny pink romper or full drag that he wears when he goes out. And he does crazy wild things and embraces it and has a good time.
He does.
And apparently some people were not as thrilled. No. But there's no actual allegations against him, right?
No, he's not facing any kind of allegations or anything, but they just thought that because these stories are coming out, they're just going to kind of cancel that for now and just kind of
work. Well, but they did. So they took that scene out. They didn't cancel the Doctor Who special.
It was, I thought it was like an animated thing that they were specifically doing.
No. So okay. The Doctor Who, this, and the whole thing's animated.
Gotcha.
Because they do a lot of Doctor Who stuff that's animated because it's easier and cheaper and you can actually make it look just as good as the regular show.
Right.
So, but they're doing it with every Doctor because all of them are still alive except for a couple.
Right.
So they got the guy that's David Hartley, who was the Red Wedding, the dad at the Red Wedding.
Dad at the Red Wedding. You mean the head of the phrase?
Yes.
Okay.
He plays the original Doctor now. He looks like the guy that was the first Doctor who's dead. He looks like him. And then the second Doctor's son is going to play the second Doctor.
Gotcha.
And they have this whole stretch done.
Okay.
They got an animation. They've been doing a lot of the old radio shows that were broadcast for Doctor Who. And then they animate them and then they air them on BBC.
Oh, that's cool as hell, actually.
So they've been doing a lot of that. And then this is going to actually be the first time, like, David Tennant's back. Matt Smith's going to be back again.
Right.
I think Christopher Eccleston's actually involved in this.
Yes.
Who hasn't touched the franchise in 15 years almost.
He's agreed to come back after his unhappy first run through.
Yeah. So I think it'll be neat. I'm disappointed that you won't get to see Tennant and Barrowman because they were fantastic together.
I tried to watch Doctor Who with when Cobra Commander was on, but I couldn't get through it for some reason. And I loved it growing up. I was a huge Tom Baker fan with the scarf and like he was my doctor.
Yeah.
I loved that.
And his jelly bellies.
Yeah, I couldn't get back into it though. I tried.
I watched very few of the original ones. I got into it just one summer. I was like, you know, and it was around the time when I started watching all this and said, you know, I should start getting into all these things that I used to like when I was a kid.
Right.
And that was my first foray back in because everybody's like, you would like Doctor Who. And I'm like, all right. And so I binged the first 8 seasons.
I still haven't finished my 4th rewatch of Smallville, so I'm not going to go back.
That's fair.
Wonder Years. We talked about that. The Don Cheadle voicing the main character. It's going to be set in 1960s Alabama. It got picked up for a full series by ABC.
Yeah, they canceled a bunch of stuff and picked up some stuff.
Yeah.
Goldberg Hill is in the lead there, which makes me happy.
Yeah. Goldberg's picked up for a 9th season.
Jeez.
I know.
Are they in the 90s yet?
I don't know. They're really milking the hell out of that, though. I mean, I enjoy the show when I watch it, but Brooklyn Nine-Nine. As you know, I'm currently watching Brooklyn Nine-Nine for the first time and absolutely loving every second of it. Their final season will air after the Summer Olympics, so I should be caught up to do a live rewatch. Not rewatch, but Nine-Nine!
There you go. Yeah, Andre Brower is amazing.
He's absolutely amazing in this. Like, the whole cast is really friggin' good.
But he's just so unexpected, even after you watch the show. It's still like... He's still that funny. Who knew?
Yeah. And it was and his husband is played by he was actually a lawyer in Parks and Rec in the later seasons. And he has the same deadpan in Parks and Recs. Friends Reunion is coming up at the end of this month, actually May 27th.
With a bunch of people I don't understand involved. Yeah.
Right. I got a list of the celebrity guests that are coming back to talk about Friends. It's not going to be an episodic thing. They're going to do like the Fresh Prince did.
Right.
They're going to have like a sit around and like talk about it. So we have David Beckham. Was he ever on? Maybe?
No.
Okay. Justin Bieber.
Wasn't born.
Right. BTS.
Think about that, by the way.
Uh-huh.
They also were not born.
Okay. James Corden. Because he's involved in everything, so I get that.
I mean, he watched reruns in Britain.
Right. Cindy Crawford.
I mean, I don't know if she was on it.
I
Maybe
don't
she
think she
was.
was. Carla Delevingne.
Not born.
Nope.
Maybe born when it was on.
Lady Gaga.
Nobody cared about her when it was on.
No.
Because she
Elliot
didn't hit
Gould.
till 07.
Elliot Gould was
Ellie
actually
Gould
on the show.
probably, walked through the stage at least once at some point.
Well,
Or see somebody's dad.
he played Monica's father, Monica and
Okay.
Ross's dad. Yeah.
You were a bigger Friends fan than I was,
It's not that I was a
apparently.
bigger Friends fan. I just remember because he was in the Oceans movies.
What does that have to do with him
I don't
being
know. I just
Monica?
remember his name. Christ. Kit
He was also
Harington.
on St. Elsewhere, I think.
He was. Kit Harington had a big part in. No, he didn't. Larry Hankin.
Nope.
Okay. Mindy Kaling.
Yeah, I know she is, but nope, no Friends connection.
Thomas Lennon.
Yeah, it sounds like they're just trying to get a grab a bunch of names from
Yeah. Oh,
like
we're almost
the
done. But these are good. Christina Pickles. Don't remember.
Christina Pickles? Is she related to Kelly Pickler?
Don't know.
Okay, cool.
Tom Selleck,
Well,
obviously.
yeah, that's good.
Right. James Michael Tyler.
Who?
Yep. Maggie Wheeler. Reese Witherspoon
Oh, I
was
do know
actually
Maggie
in it.
Wheeler. No, I don't know Maggie Wheeler. Reese Witherspoon.
She
Okay.
was. She played Rachel's sister, younger sister, a couple episodes. And
I didn't realize
Malala.
that. Is that why they're together on the daily,
I think so.
the morning show then? That's clever.
Yeah, and then this name, I'm going to totally butcher this name. I apologize.
No.
Is Malala is the first name, Malala?
Yeah.
Okay. And the last name is Youssafzai. I'm not even going to attempt to ruin that last name. Do not know the person, though.
You say?
Yeah, we'll go with that.
Sure.
That works.
I'll
Sounds better
take
than
it.
what I
I'll
would have
take
said.
a stab.
Yeah, it sounds better than what I would have said.
Yeah, I mean the beauty of the Fresh Prince was one was it was just the people that were on the Fresh Prince
Correct.
and
Correct.
nobody else.
No. Well, and I mean, they brought Aunt
I
Viv, the
mean
original Aunt Viv back, but that was, you
yeah,
know.
but she was on the Fresh Prince, so it's okay.
Correct.
But
It
like
wasn't.
BTS doesn't even speak English.
Right. And it wasn't. It wasn't like they. It wasn't like they went out and they were like, "Hey, Martin Lawrence, why don't you come and be on the Fresh Prince reunion?" Why?
Right.
Because you know Will Smith. Like.
Right, you were in Bad Boys with him.
Yeah.
Kevin Hart, why don't you come be on the Fresh Prince reunion?
Oh.
You were in high school.
Yeah, like whatever. There is so NBC, you know, every year NBC does their live musicals now.
Do, yeah.
Yes, this year is going to be Annie live. No cast yet. So
I mean, how do you outcast Carol Burnett though?
Look, I didn't watch the movie when was it Cameron Diaz played the Carol Burnett part, I believe.
Oh, you
I
know.
believe I
Oh,
forget.
that's right. That was the updated version, right?
That was the updated version, I believe, that I did
Yeah.
not see. That was 82. See, I watched the original, so it was
That's with
yes.
Carol Burnett.
2014, it was
You're
yes,
in
it
the
was the
orphanage.
Jamie Foxx played the rich guy
Daddy
who
Warbucks.
but he wasn't. His name was Will Stacks.
Oh.
And then it was a whole new cast, but Cameron Diaz played the Hannigan role, and Bobby Cannavale played Guy.
Her brother?
Yes.
Eh.
So, I mean, it had a decent cast, just wasn't. Like I said, I watched the original when I was growing up a lot because my
Yeah.
sisters watched it, and I actually really enjoyed it.
It was one of those HBO standards too, I think, where it was on HBO like every 3 hours. Yeah.
So the CW, our favorite
Okay.
network, is expanding to 7 days a week.
Yeah, I saw
So,
this.
according to JoeBlow.com, is a movie news network, the website, the network has announced that it will be airing programs 7 nights a week and adding a prime time block on Saturdays. So this is the first time the CW or its original networks, WB and UPN, have broadcast programming across all 7 nights of the week. So this will
Yeah.
happen later this season into next season.
Well, they just added Sundays 2 years ago.
Right. So now they're going to add more.
Yeah, I don't know what they're adding on Saturdays. If it's just going to be like,
I think they're going to give away. I think they're going to give way to some of the stuff during the week, the local programming.
I have a feeling it'll be their game show type stuff. Like you'll get like the Penn and Teller Fool Us Again,
right?
And like that kind of stuff. I think maybe Whose Line. They'll move because they do Whose Line is anyway during the summer on Saturdays or Mondays and Fridays. So I bet they'll move that like stuff like that.
Yeah.
Which is fine.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we'll see. I don't, you know, I'm still so far behind on everything CW-wise anyway. But
yeah, you are.
You wanted to slide something in.
I did.
I don't remember what.
Oh,
but I know so I said after the CW stuff, I was like, I'm going to go to you.
I think it was after the thing that you were going to do after the CW stuff, but that's fine. So what I wanted to talk about real quick, and I don't know if anybody's watched it. I'm not going to give huge spoilers. But you know, a few years ago, Netflix bought Mark Miller's whole comic book universe, right? So DC is with Warner Brothers, you know, Marvel's with Disney, and Netflix felt, you know, we need to buy our own. So they bought the universe that Mark Miller made. You probably don't know who he is, but let me tell you a few things that he's done. Mm. So he was he's the guy that wrote Kick-Ass as part of this universe.
Oh, okay.
The movie Wanted with James McAvoy and Angelina Jolie was part of this universe.
Okay.
Kingsman, The Secret Service, and all those franchise is all Mark Miller's universe. He also wrote some comics you might have all heard of. Civil War was Civil his War. Series.
Hmm.
And The Ultimates, which is what all of the Avengers and the MCU versions of most of these characters is really based off of.
Gotcha.
So he's done some stuff. He's only 50 now.
Really?
But, he also wrote Old Man Logan, which some people may have heard of.
Yeah, that's I heard of that.
So, and he did all that before he was 40, by the way.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And then Marvel's CEO director went up to him and said, hey, you need to go write your own stuff and like create your own universe because you're too good to keep writing in ours. So he went off and started his own universe for everything. Given that, so Netflix has a ton of Mark Miller stuff in the works. The first one just came out a week and a half ago. It's called Jupiter's Legacy.
I've seen pictures,
but
I haven't looked.
And the cast for this is pretty good. It's characters that were from back in the early part of the 1900s that have gotten older, you know, but they're still alive and they're still superheroes because their powers make them age a little bit slower. But it plays on what does that mean and having these. I think the best way to look at it is the Superman that I always talk about wanting is what this main character is, where it's no, we're truth and justice, and everything's the right way. Mm-hmm. And how do those ideals that a character that was created back in the 1930s, or this version, somebody that has ideals of America from the early 1900s, right after Civil War, right before the Depression even plays a part in this. How does a character with those ideals age into modern day?
Hmm.
If they were still alive and still setting the standards for things and still being your touch point, how does that work? Right. What does that look like?
Right.
So you get that. And there's this group that they formed, and then now they have kids, and now they're the paragons for these younger generations coming up. And what does that look like when you're trying to fight against what modern comics and television and media looks like now, with everything being, you know, everybody gets worse and everybody, it's not bank robberies anymore. It's murder. And how do you react with this antiquated set of ideals to that?
It sounds pretty interesting.
Right. So it's a really interesting look at that. And the story, there was twists and turns, and I totally didn't expect where it ended up for it to be. Your lead star is Josh Duhamel.
Yeah, I saw that, and I didn't realize that was him. I really love him.
Because he plays multiple, you know, you time jump, right? So there's different eras that these guys have been alive in. And you get Leslie Bibb.
Okay.
Is one of the other main stars. Ben Daniels, who I wasn't super familiar for with, but he's done a lot of stuff. Matt Lantner, or Lantner.
Lantner.
Yeah.
Yep.
He's been in a ton of stuff. Bunch
he's
of other
Beverly,
other.
He's on Beverly Hills.
Yeah, a bunch of other characters that I are actors and stuff that I don't really know. But those were the big ones. Leslie Bibb, it's funny. So she's been in, she was in Iron Man 1 and 2, and she's been like adjacent to all these comic book movies over the years and like all these kind of characters. But she thought she was too old to ever get to play a superhero.
Oh.
So, and her and Josh Duhamel are both just about 50.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but now they get to play these superhero characters they never would have gotten to play because that's these characters awesome. In the show are aged up because they're 100 years old.
Right, that's so awesome.
So, but I recommend the show. It's only 8 episodes.
Okay, that's
not a manageable.
How long are they?
Like 30 to 50 minutes. I think the first one's an hour.
That's not too bad.
And then they shorten up. But it's a pretty neat story, and it pulls zero punches, and there's no editing. It's definitely an adult show, not one to watch with your kids. But
right.
Overall, I thought it was a great introduction to Mark Miller's universe, and just great take on the modern superhero stuff without coming across as superhero-y. You know, kind of like another show Amazon Prime just bought and put out.
Is it called The League?
No.
Because I could rewatch that because Leslie Bibb was in that.
Was she?
She was.
Big fan of Leslie Bibb.
Very brief. Very brief. Are you talking about a show that you've been harassing me to watch for weeks now?
Yeah. Yep.
That I finally broke down and watched?
You did. I was so proud
you told me. Like a proud papa.
I was.
I'm gonna save that for a little bit just in case anybody hasn't watched it so we don't lose our handful of viewers, our hundreds of viewers that are watching right now. Star Wars Celebration 2022 has been moved
two
months earlier
to
the weekend, Memorial Day weekend, which coincides with the 20th anniversary of the Clone Wars. So they're known to move their celebration to coincide with anniversaries like that.
Right.
So it'll be from May 26th to the 29th in 2022. So we won't get it this year, it doesn't look like. Still.
That's okay.
Yeah. That's good. There'll be a lot of stuff to talk about Star Wars-wise in 2022, hopefully.
Yeah. I mean, there might be, you know.
The High Republic.
Well, that's just books. That's all out.
Is it?
Yeah, I think most of they've been releasing those books, but the problem was they released those books and then 5 minutes later, Disney Plus was like, here's The Mandalorian.
Right. And everybody was like, hi, what? Hi, who?
Yeah, they were like, Luke Skywalker's back. And everybody's like, I'm going to watch this again.
Apparently, he's going to play a really big role in the next season of Mandalorian. It's going to be very force heavy, they said.
Okay.
That's where Mara Jade comes in.
Who?
Mara Jade is Luke Skywalker's wife in the extended universe that is no longer part of the actual universe.
Star Wars Legends, right?
That's the one, yes. Yeah. She's the red-haired beauty that captures his heart after trying to kill him.
Mm.
Yes, it's a good story. I was introduced to her in the Heir to the Empire series.
Right.
Books, which was a great series of books.
Now,
that also introduced me to Thrawn, which I didn't know.
Now, what I'm wondering is, do we now get do they erase the sequels? Because that Luke doesn't seem like a Luke that had a wife and a love interest ever.
We can hope. We can really hope that that happens.
I feel like they're going to end up retconning those out of existence.
I hope so. I pray every day that that happens.
Except did you watch the Bad Batch yet? Bad Batch is 3 episodes in.
What's the Bad Batch? is that from the Invincible guy?
No.
It's from Star Wars. No, yes. I have not. I actually I put it on this afternoon, and I saw an hour and 25-minute episode. And I was like, I'm not ready for this right now. It's the middle of the day, and I'm trying to work. I won't be able to pay attention.
Yeah, the first episode was long, but it did all the legwork that they needed for this season to bridge the gap between the story they want to tell and the end of Clone Wars.
Right. And they kept the animation the same from the Clone Wars. They didn't age it up to do like Rebels or any of like the newer animation. They kept
It starts at Order 66.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love that. I can't wait to actually dig into it. I probably won't this weekend. Let's just be honest and I'll just be frank and tell you. Let's be frank.
Look at that.
So
yeah, it starts right at the end of right around the last time we saw the Bad Batch.
Gotcha. Okay.
It's like direct continuation from the final episodes of Clone Wars.
My friend just messaged me on Discord. He goes, "What's Bad Batch? What a dick." So yeah, I will watch it though. I'll catch up before
maybe next episode.
This,
great.
Maybe not this.
It's only four episodes, dude. It's like 2.5 hours of your life.
Yeah,
2.5 hours of your life.
I got a big, busy Saturday coming.
No, you don't.
Yeah, I do. I'm going. It's game day over my friend Gina's and Dan's. We're doing board game day.
That's fine. I'll make them put on the Bad Batch for you.
They might. Gina watches in the background. Sometimes.
Yeah, see, there we go.
Tiki's husband's watching it. And I want to watch it too. I do. I'm a huge Star Wars fan. I just haven't slotted it in yet. It's got to go somewhere between Sons of Anarchy and Smallville. Kidding.
He's not.
I am. Dude, I haven't even kept. So I haven't. I'm way behind on Supergirl.
That's for the best. It's now you have time to catch up because it doesn't come back till August.
I'm way behind on Superman and Lois still. I think an episode maybe behind.
That comes back tomorrow.
Right. I'm behind on The Flash. I'm also behind on The Mayans and The Blacklist. Oh. And this is filling up my DVR, so I got to get to do it.
Yeah. Yeah, Supergirl just went on hiatus. Oh, like I said, till August.
I did. I saw a mid-season finale. What happens next? And don't tell me.
It's just as bad as the episodes before it is what happened. Yeah, it's not good. It's so bad. They decided they had too much good writing the first season or two, and let's just get rid of all those people.
Oh god.
Pretty much when all these shows stopped having Kevin Smith direct episodes, they all went to hell.
Oh, see? Speaking of DC, segue. J.J. Abrams is going to continue to develop project for DC, but has no interest in directing. So for those of you that like Lens Flare, that's.
I don't know how upset anybody should be.
No, he doesn't want it. He doesn't want his next director projects to be things that didn't pre-exist him necessarily.
So he does or doesn't?
He does not.
Got it. So he wants to go back and do Alias movies. Okay.
Right. June 22nd, Batman, The Long Halloween Part 1 hits video on demand and Blu-ray as animated. Looks really good.
It does. We talked about it. Yeah, it looks fantastic.
Yeah. Suicide Squad 2 is a hard R.
The Suicide Squad, you mean?
Huh?
The Suicide Squad.
The Suicide Squad 2. Whatever.
No, it's not. There's no 2.
Whatever. It's just rated Suicide R. Squad. Due to strong violence, language, and brief graphic nudity.
Oh.
I hope it's Pokemon.
No, I'm pretty sure it's going to be King Shark.
Yeah. It's still set for its August 2021 release.
Good. Move it up.
Our favorite TV show, The Flash.
Okay.
Cisco Ramon. Played by Carlos Valdez.
Yeah.
Since day one, since the actual backdoor pilot in the Arrowverse is leaving the show actually tonight, I believe, is episode 9.
Maybe.
Tomorrow, probably. Yeah. He's leaving following Tom Cavanaugh exiting the sinking ship.
Right. And I've heard rumors Danielle Panabaker is not going to be far behind.
Probably not. The only thing keeping her around right now is directing.
They've replaced all of them already, so it's fine.
And it's not that interesting of a replacement with all of them.
No. The little ultraviolet chick is not interesting at all.
No. But Barry runs for love.
Yeah. Well, now it's really just the Iris and Barry show.
Yeah.
And Barry's mom.
The Speed Force.
Yeah.
It's fine.
They're bringing back the kids. It's good.
Yes.
Instead of being grandkids, great-grandkids, great-grandkids, grandkids.
Yeah, great.
No, they were grandkids.
Grandkids.
They're going to make him something different. So, which now that I'm up to reading New 52 in my comic book journey through the Flash, now I'm finding where they're rewriting who Bart Allen and all that was in the comic books too. So,
A couple more things and then we'll go into Invincible real fast. Anthony Mackie was asked if he would be in Black Panther 2, and he's quoted as saying, comedically, "I do have a Wakanda visa, so I can go to Wakanda as much as I want. I have a passport and a Wakanda visa, and I'm vaccinated, so I can go to Wakanda." He has not actually confirmed or denied that he would appear in a sequel, but said that if he does appear, he would want his appearance to be done respectfully. Everyone's kind of tiptoeing around.
Maybe we'll find out where they got that shield from, finally.
Which shield? The broken one?
Well, no, the one that, you know, that Steve walked back with.
Oh, yeah.
And handed to him.
Yeah.
Because let's be honest, that shield that broke in Endgame was one that Tony just gave him in Endgame. Mm-hmm. Because they broke the one at the end of Civil War, didn't they?
Yes, they did.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the third shield then?
Yeah, even though it's only a one-time make. I mean, luckily they didn't make it out of the weird alloy that it's made out of in the comics because they weren't allowed to use adamantium because right. That was a mutant
vibranium.
Thing.
Vibranium.
Right, well, it was. It was a combination of the two strongest elements was Captain America's shield. That was always the story of it.
Well, maybe this new one is because now they can use that word again.
Right, but we don't know where Steve got it from when he gave it to Anthony Mackie or to Sam, so... That's what I'm waiting to find out. Hopefully we get that somewhere.
So there's a Guardians of the Galaxy Christmas special coming out.
Next year.
Right. So the Guardians of the Galaxy Christmas special is set before Volume 3 of Guardians of the Galaxy.
Right.
Volume 3 is set after Thor 4.
Right.
For those keeping track. Literally all I had on that.
Probably the Christmas special will be after Thor 2 because I think it's going to release after Thor.
Then that would be, so Volume 3 is after Thor, that would be before that. Okay, yeah, it makes sense.
It'll be in between Thor and Guardians 3. So we'll see the Guardians at least 3 more times.
Right, and Dave Bautista has been saying things about, wasn't sure if he I guess he wants Drax to die, or I don't
know. Well, that's what we were talking about earlier. He said he will no longer play Drax.
Right.
After Guardians 3. Because when that comes out, he's going to be in his mid-50s.
Right.
And he doesn't want to have to keep working out to look like that because he has to look like that with the shirt off.
Right, right.
And he doesn't feel like doing that anymore. And James Gunn said, you know, without you, there's no Drax. So intriguing to see if that changes any writing decisions or anything.
I was going to go through a list of things, but I don't want to bother with it because that list isn't just, it's whatever. Invincible.
Yeah.
I didn't pull a background up for it. Oh, I'm sorry. Before that, AT&T. The AT&T merger.
Yeah. So not a lot of details yet.
No, but
happened by announcement this morning, but not official for another like 6 months or so or a couple months.
So AT&T bought WarnerMedia 3 years ago and now it's merging. Hold on. Let me get this right. Warner Media's companies like Warner Brothers and HBO, among many others, will be merging with Discovery, Inc. So right. It'll create a company that dwarfs both Netflix and NBC Universal in size. The focus of this new entity will be the individual streaming services of Warner Media and Discovery, HBO Max and Discovery Plus, as well as both companies' large profiles of cable channels. Discovery, Inc. is also home of channels like the Food Network, TLC, and the Oprah Winfrey Network. That's a huge... In 2018, AT&T acquired Time Warner for $85 billion. And
this was a $43 billion merger, this one today.
Right. So after 3 years, they're turning it over or they're sucking in Discovery. Or Discovery's sucking.
No, so it's splitting off to a completely different company. It's going to be run by the head of Discovery.
Right.
Is going to run the company, but it's divesting AT&T from their media, which is what they need to do because they're not a media company. So now they're getting rid of it.
Okay.
They were following in the footsteps of Comcast when Comcast bought NBC Universal.
Right.
And trying to go that route.
Gotcha.
It didn't work out because they're just losing money, especially with the pandemic. Because, I mean, they bought it and took it over, and then like a year later, they stopped making money.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, and HBO Max launched poorly. The guy that is in charge of Discovery seems to know what he's doing, though. He already announced today they're going to have a new name for the company in the next few months.
Oh.
So we'll see what they rename it. No, okay, not yet. Okay. But I mean, Discovery Plus, if you look at the portfolio on that app, it's huge.
Will it be called Ray Fisher Streaming Service?
No.
Ray Fisher coming back?
But it has all of the Food Network stuff, all the Cooking Channel stuff, all the ID stuff, all of Animal Planet.
Ray Fisher can get a cooking show.
He could.
Maybe.
Be Cyborg something. Yeah.
Chopping broccoli. Okay. I dated myself there. Now Invincible. Yeah. Invincible. So if you haven't watched Invincible, we're going to end the show with some Invincible talk. So I don't have a background to put up for Invincible. I didn't think that far ahead for once. Instead, you get Philadelphia, which has been up for like the last half hour. So if you haven't watched Invincible, now's your time to tap out.
And go watch Invincible.
Go watch Invincible. Come back to the podcast. Listen to the whole thing all the way through. You get to this part again to refresh on everything we talked about. And then listen to the Invincible stuff. That way, everybody's happy, especially us. I finally watched it. To much badgering and arm twisting and crying and stomping my feet, I actually sat down and watched it. And after the first episode, I was instantly hooked right in.
Yeah, and if there's anything that we've talked about so far that you're into before you bounce, if you haven't bounced, it is 100%. The show for you, because it covers all of it.
Yep, it does. And now I understand the memes.
Yeah.
More than anything. The voice acting was outstanding.
Yeah, the cast is unbelievable.
The cast in the first episode is unbelievable. The cast in the first episode completely blew my mind, because you got some real heavy hitters
in the
very first episode that are then no longer hitting.
Yeah, that are just one and done episode wise. Yeah.
But the whole thing overall, what's his name, was sensational as Omni-Man. Why can't I remember his name?
JJ.
We Are Farmers.
Yeah.
What the hell's his name? I should have this, but
you should.
So hold on while we do this.
J.K. Simmons.
J.K. Simmons. Was sensational.
And this show's already been picked up for another two seasons, by the way.
Yeah. So we had said earlier that the creator said that he's got enough material for seven seasons.
Yeah. So if you didn't know the people that were in the first episode voice-wise, you had weren't in the second episode. You had Lauren Cohan from The Walking Dead, Michael Cudlitz from The Walking Dead, Chad Coleman from The Walking Dead, Lenny James from The Walking Dead. They were all from The Walking Dead. How did I not realize that?
Wow.
Sonequa Martin-Green from The Walking Dead.
Yeah, Ross Marquand. Star Trek Discovery.
Ross Marquand from The Walking Dead. Wow. Patrick Thomas from Save the Last Dance was guard number two.
Yet John Hamm was guard number one, right?
Yeah, he was Steve. I think he got a name.
He got a name.
Mark Hamill was a voice in the first episode.
Mark Hamill was a voice throughout, though.
Yeah.
But
I mean, yeah. that was that. And you have your main cast through all of it. Steven Yeun from Walking Dead, Sandra Oh from Killing Eve and Grey's Anatomy.
I don't like her, but I actually did not dislike her in this.
Yeah. J.K. Simmons, who's incredible.
Yep.
Mahershala Ali is an ongoing recurring voice, and Zazie Beetz is an ongoing recurring voice.
And Jillian Jacobs is an ongoing.
And yeah. Her Gray Griffin, Chris Diamantopoulos, who played Mo in one of the Three Stooges movies.
Yep.
For a little deep cut for you.
Walter
Goggins. Isn't it Goggins? Too.
Both of them. They're both in. Clancy Brown.
His character's fantastic.
Yeah. I hope he comes back.
He was the devil guy.
He was Damien Darkblood.
Yeah. Seth Rogen makes an appearance. I mean, the cast just is never ending on this show.
Jason Mantzoukas is one of my favorite guys because I never realize it's him at first.
And yeah, he sounds, Zachary Quinto's through the whole thing as well.
He is. He's the robot.
Yeah, Jason Mendoza actually does a couple voices on there.
Yeah.
And so, and he, when you start, you think that he's TJ, what's his name, from Deadpool, is who he always sounds like to me.
Yes, yes. I had to look it up. So I found him in the League. He's in the League as Rafi. He's terrible. He's in Parks and Rec as Dennis Feinstein, the cologne guy, the clone guy. And he's in Brooklyn Nine-Nine. He's in as a recurring character in Brooklyn Nine-Nine also.
Right, and he's in The Good Place as Steve.
Yes.
He is fantastic in The Good Place. He's recurring for about 3 seasons. Pops in and out, and he's amazing every time he shows up on screen. He was also part of the rap battle as the Rat King in an episode of Legion season 3.
Okay.
Where he gets into a rap battle with David, the star of Legion. Right, which you should go download that and watch it, Frank, even though you didn't watch Legion. It's crazy. Anyway, so back to Invincible. So anybody that doesn't know the backstory that's still listening that watched Invincible, you know, it's a Robert Kirkman story. So it's actually the first comic book that Robert Kirkman did. And this is before Walking Dead. They're about 3 months apart is when they came out. Right. Invincible ran for about 120 issues. So in comic book terms, that's a little over 10 years, depending on how often you release. And it's available a bunch of formats, like big omnibuses, where people are like, hey, when's the next omnibus coming out? And he's like, well, about 4 years, because it's 48 issues. So it takes about 4 years to do, you know, same thing with Walking Dead. Like, hey, I want the next one. Great. Wait 4 years and you'll have another book, or you can buy the comics every week. But Invincible ran for that long. You know, obviously not as long as Walking Dead. I think the biggest thing that I got out of it from Robert Kirkman insight, you know, as a Walking Dead fan as well, is he really likes to tell these stories about father-son relationships and coming of age.
Okay.
All right, so Walking Dead is a principle for anybody that's watched it is about Rick Grimes and Carl and their relationship, and the comics more so than the TV show ended up being, obviously due to actors and contracts and stuff like that. You can't do the same thing you do. But the comics through to the end was about the relationship of Rick and Carl. And at the heart of Invincible is really this related father and son relationship. And just his son looking to be accepted by his father, especially once he finds out everything going on.
Right.
You know, by the end. But I thought it was well played for emotional stuff. It got all the sci-fi kicks that you could want in, all the comic booky things. You know, and without even realizing that they did it, when they show you in the finale, they kind of flash back to all the stuff that Mark has to take care of going forward. You're like, oh my God, they introduced like 20 episodes worth of villains and stuff to do in this 8-episode series. And I didn't even realize they introduced like this big rogues gallery, and they were smarter than all these other shows that have been on TV where they didn't kill any of them off. Like everything in Marvel Universe is like, there's no recurring bad guys because they kill them off at the end of every episode or series.
Right.
This, like, you realize at the end, they flash back and they go, hey, remember what happened on Mars? And remember what happened over here? And remember these robots that got built? And remember this planet that his dad went and just destroyed that's going to come back for revenge now? Like, and they flash through that and you go, oh my God, they've got 2 seasons easy of storylines to tell on this show now. How great is that?
I thought it was just, it was so well done. And you didn't, I mean, I guess you kind of saw that twist coming, the father, but like not to the point that it was. There's a lot of weird shit that went on in that show.
Yeah, it's and like I said, it's kind of like The Boys.
Yep.
And its take.
Yep.
But it's more based in a, you know, like it's a what if Superman went wrong.
Right. Yeah,
you know,
it's basically what it is.
And it's why I have such issues with all the DCEU stuff. Like, that's this is the opposite of what I want out of my Superman. I find getting out of Homelander, Omni-Man, like these characters.
Right.
But my Superman. You
don't want Superman to be bad.
No, constantly. He's supposed to be a good guy.
Right. And they do. They have a tendency to darken him too much. You're not darkening Captain America. Like, he's a good guy. Why do it to Superman? Like, you want to give him a black suit, that's fine, but he doesn't have to be a bad guy because he's got a black suit on.
Right.
That wasn't the purpose of the black suit. It wasn't to make him a bad guy. It was to heal him.
It was to absorb more sun.
Right. And but what they're doing in the video games and all, and I get the alternate stories and the, you know, what happens if this happens, and I'm okay with that to a point, but I think they beat the shit out of it. I think they beat it to death.
Right, it's fine to do that, but you still have to remember we haven't had a good Superman movie in 40 years.
No. Not since the one with what's his name?
Chris Reeves. I don't know if I would call that a good Superman.
Nuclear Man?
That was 3, right? No, well, Nuclear Man was 4, Search for Peace.
Right. See? Look at that. Just what Tiki said. There's plenty of anti-heroes or evil heroes. Don't change the character like that.
Yeah, and I'm appreciating the fact that we're starting to see characters that we don't need to reinvent the existing ones. We can have other characters, and as long as you tell a good story and are you know, engage the audience and engage with the storytelling. Like I said, like at the heart of this Invincible, which is one of the most outrageous gore and language and situations, there's this story of a family that's breaking apart.
Right.
And it's like a very small, compact story when you get down to it, right? It's just like this father is disappointing his family, his wife and his kid, and how do they react to that? And what's the next steps for him?
Yeah. It's like the Superman thing that they're talking about, where like JJ's backed away from, well, he's gonna write it, but he's not gonna direct it. Let them cast Superman as a different race of anything. But tell a different story. You don't have to make it Clark Kent being a different race. Make your own stance.
Right. And there are. There's Val Zod.
Yes. Yeah. Make your own. Be Superman. But give it your own story. Don't change what's already there. Make your own story and make it just as good.
Right.
I would love to see that happen. I don't want to see it's the same thing with Batman. I don't want to see a Bruce Wayne over and over and over again. Make it different. Make it happen. Make it go this way a little bit.
Right. Or change my thing with the Batman. So it's change the Batman story you're telling.
Yeah.
Right. Give me Batman and Robin, but I don't need a 30-year-old Robin.
No. And it's the same. And look, as much as I love the Joker as a character, it's like every Batman has to have Joker. You don't have to have Joker every single time.
No.
He's got an awesome roster of villains that he can face that you haven't touched.
Right.
Scarecrow would make a great, like they did in Batman Begins, but you can do better. I mean, that was a decent Scarecrow.
I mean, the one they introduced throughout Gotham was great. Gotham did a great job at showing you the depth of his rogues gallery.
Oh, Mad Hatter was phenomenal in Gotham.
Yeah. Arthur Tetch.
Yes, there's so many other, even Superman has a roster of villains that you can use. I mean, God forbid
they not go to the Lex Luthor well with them.
I mean, look,
like again, even Supergirl's back to just like Lex Luthor's sister's her best friend. Still,
I'm a huge fan of Lex Luthor. I love the character, but give me Brainiac. Give me any other Superman villain, any other. Doomsday. I don't want to see Doomsday.
The problem is now, with having a new Superman show, they introduced a lot of classic Superman villains on Supergirl because they didn't have a big rogues gallery for Supergirl. So they pulled all these. Now you have to follow that and you can get out of it with Crisis, right? Which is what they're going to do at some point.
Sure.
But now you have to follow that rabbit hole of like, oh, well, okay, well, Toyman's already in jail and his kid's this, so now we can't use Toyman.
Right.
Which sucks because Toyman is a great Superman villain.
Yep.
There's some fantastic stories with him, you know, but a lot of Superman's good stuff is off world anymore.
Yeah.
So you can't really, it's better to, I would take all of these as great animated shows and just make legit animated shows of all of them. And you're good. you know, because you don't need to make stars' careers off these characters. I think Marvel has set up their world where they can do it live action. I don't think DC's to create like the shared universe they keep thinking about. But they're gonna reboot it all in Flash and ruin it anyway.
Yay.
I don't know why they're banking on that other than Geoff Johns, because he wrote it, but they also only stuck with that for like 2 years or 4 years in DC, and then they rewrote that new 52 take. And we're like, oh, this was
I'm excited for the Flash movie. I don't care what you say.
Yeah. Yeah, read some Flashpoint and what it happened, what did DC Comics and you won't be.
I saw the
cartoon movie.
It was good.
I know. It was.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all I got.
All right.
That's all you got. That's all we got.
Yeah. We'll talk Bad Batch next week.
We will talk some stuff next week. I didn't even get into my Mighty Ducks hatred this week. We'll save that.
Oh. There's
a lot of hatred going right now. I got a lot of anger over Mighty Ducks. Lots of anger.
My kids and I are behind on High School Musical, the musical, the series too. So we'll have to recap some of that.
I got to start the John Stamos one too.
Oh, Big Balls?
Yeah, whatever that is.
Yeah. Big Shots? I think it's Big Shots, actually.
I don't know what it is, but I'm interested. Anyway. I'm interested. What do you got going on the weekend?
Nothing this weekend. Just watching some stuff. You can always find it on find out where I'm at jackkidmusic.com. That's it. Thanks, Tiki Trees.
Yes, thank you so much. I'm used to you having way more stuff. So as always, you could find us on Spotify after tonight. Sometime tomorrow, you can find us on iTunes. You can rate us in the 5-star range because if you try to rate 4 or lower, it doesn't work. It's broken. You can rate us 5 stars and give us a horrible review, which is just not worth it, because if you're 5 stars, you don't want to go horrible. You want to go great, like how awesome they are. Like the amazing chemistry and how Frank doesn't watch anything Jack wants to talk about. It's wonderful. But thank you, everyone, for sticking around. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for finding the Geek Spot. See you.
There it was.